I am writing this letter because I think you do not understand your own Lutheran doctrine of how God views good works. Well, good day. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Friday, March the 28th, in the year of our Lord, 2014. I'm Pastor Tom Baker, and today's Open Mic Friday. This gives you the opportunity to phone in with any comments, questions, and I can now add, criticisms. Numbers in St. Louis are 821-0850, toll-free 1-800-730-2727. This is an actual letter that was sent to the KFUO studios, and they wanted me to respond to it, dear Pastor Tom Baker. And I'm going to use it to help you understand how you might be able to write letters of criticism to me. What the, I'm not going to give the name of the person, he knows who he is, but he says, not only don't I understand the Lutheran doctrine of how God views good works, he then speaks about that Paul was primarily explaining in biographical terms his change in life to Christianity, and then he goes into a item that Martin Luther was probably a manic depressive. Then he writes, I do not think it is possible to get beyond unrighteousness and stay out of trouble in this life unless you are trying to do the right thing. As a third party, this is why Lutheranism does not make sense to me. Now, I have to say, I'm a little confused as to why he thinks I don't understand the Lutheran doctrine of how God views good works. So I would like him to write back to me, and anytime you criticize me, I don't mind criticism because sometimes I'm wrong, and then I need to correct it, especially if I said it on the radio. What I would like to have, though, are specific statements I made with which you disagree. And in this three-page letter, I didn't find one statement that I made. He does a interesting theological understanding of Paul and something along Martin Luther, but there's nothing in the entire letter of a specific statement that I made. So if he would be so kind as to write back and indicate what is the specific sentence I said, and you don't have to remember it word for word, but generally, what do you think I'm teaching about how God views good works? I'll tell you how I think God views good works. In regard to becoming saved, there's no place for good works at all. Because God saves people who are godless, who are ungodly. He saves them by grace. Now, in regard to the life of sanctification, which is our response to what God has done, then God does look for good works, or what is better referred to as fruit of the Holy Spirit. Those are regular good works, but done out of motivation, out of love for Jesus Christ. And only God can judge our heart's motivation. On Judgment Day, is he going to be looking for good works? Yes, but not as the reason why we are saved. Take a look at Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. God compliments the works of the sheep, but that's not why they are saved. They instead are the evidence that they already have been saved because these good works are appearing. If the good works don't show up, it means you're an unbeliever. But if this fruit of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, the sheep are saying, we don't remember doing all these things because they themselves can't judge their own hearts, then God finds the evidence. So what is the place of good works in Lutheran theology? In regard to your becoming saved, there is no place. In regard to your having been saved and responding in sanctification, there is a big place. So I enjoy letters, and I just want to read the last paragraph he has. The reason I began to listen to KFUO radio because I got tired of listening to music on the radio. It was by coincidence that I found out all about your Bible call in show by surfing AM radio. I tell you, when I was a pastor, About one third of my adult instruction class came from people listening to KFUO. And a number of times they just ran across it because, you know, these car radios, you can hit a button and it'll surf through the various stations. So encourage your people to go to AM 850 in order to listen to worldwide KFUO, or if they don't have a radio or they're too far away, like in Australia or Tennessee, then they can go to KFUO.org and listen as they hear it in real time. So thanks very much for the letter. I don't mind criticisms, but my concern is, please give specific examples of what I said where I was in error. Okay, next letter. Thank you for sharing your knowledge on your Law and Gospel program. I appreciate your vision on how to speak to those that hear the Word of God on KFUO. Now, her main concern is a number of friends have turned to dispensationalism, and their theology is based on 2 Timothy 2:15. Now, I'm going to read 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Rightly handling the word of truth. That's the ESV translation. The King James and the New King James says rightly dividing the word of truth. The New American Standard has handling accurately the word of truth. Now, scholars have spent a lot of time and ink in trying to understand what is rightly dividing. What does that mean? Well, it means rightly dividing the word of truth. And if you take a look in the Bible, the word of truth is found in Daniel chapter 10, verse 21, and it actually refers to the Bible. That's correct. It refers to the Bible. Now, sometimes it is an allusion to the verses of the Hebrew Bible, which are called divisions, sections, or cuttings, from the word to cut or divide, being cut or divided one from another. So there were those who were employed in the law. They were conversant with the sacred writings and therefore were called cutters or dividers of the law. In other words, they divided the verses and the chapters and this sort of thing. In fact, the chapters came about prior to the chapters in the New Testament, obviously being the Old Testament verses. However, most scholars believe that the apostle is referring, therefore, to a wrong way of dividing the scriptures by the Jews, to which he opposes the right dividing of them. I'll give you a perfect example. Jesus himself says that you search the scriptures and think you find salvation in them, but you don't. I'm standing before you. I am your salvation. Now, what is Jesus referring to? In Judaism, which is a different religion than the Old Testament faith of Abraham, they believed that following the ceremonial laws was really important. In fact, they expanded the ceremonial laws, over 600 of them, just to remember the Sabbath day properly. And they minimize the moral law. Oh, can you prove that? Well, remember, anytime I say something, I better have Bible verses to back it up. Well, if you take a look at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, he's talking to the people and the Pharisees saying, you know, you said thou shalt not murder, and you think you're okay because you haven't done that act. But I tell you, even a bad thought or a bad word gets the same punishment from God if there is unrepentance, and that is eternal damnation. So that's how they minimize the moral law. Now, how about expanding the ceremonial laws? Well, not only did they have many new ceremonial laws that they put into place so that people could obey them, but many of the poor people appreciated the Pharisees and the scribes and those who taught about obeying the ceremonial laws because it made easy for a poor person to obey the ceremonial laws also. And then we remember that parable of Jesus where the Pharisee, thanks God, he's not like that tax collector And why does he thank God? Because he's obeying the ceremonial laws. He's fasting. He's tithing. So there was great trust in your salvation on the basis of your obedience. This is not rightly handling or dividing the word of truth. And in Lutheran understanding, how is the Bible properly divided? What are the two main doctrines? The two main doctrines are law and gospel. That's how you properly divide the scriptures. So, when it says that they are not rightly handling or dispensing the word of God, in 2 Corinthians 2:17, it means they are corrupting the word of God. Now, in this letter, well, this was actually an email that I received. This individual is very, very concerned about her friends because they also study the TV program of Les Feldick. Now, I never really heard of Les Feldick, but I went ahead to find out, okay, who is this person? And what I discovered is this person is not even a theologian. He's a farmer, but he has a television program and he talks about theology, but it's a lot like Joel Osteen. You know, they brag they've never been trained theologically, and then they go ahead and prove it. I'll just give you just one example. Paul tells us that there were two gospels. One that Paul preached to the Gentiles, they did not have to be circumcised, by revelation from Jesus Christ, and the other that John the Baptist, Jesus, Peter, and the 12 preached to the Jews or nation of Israel about the necessity of being circumcised. So as you study, notice who is speaking and who is being spoken to. Boy, this is unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable that there are two gospels, one for the Jews and one for the Gentiles. If you read the scriptures carefully, Jesus and Paul are absolutely consistent in their understanding that you're saved by grace through faith, not on account of works, circumcision, or anything else like that. So the rightly dividing is really important. I want to talk a little bit more about it, but at this point, we're going to go to the phone lines because they take priority on Open Mic Friday, and let's talk to Linda. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor.
Hi.
I think you do a wonderful job teaching us about sanctification, justification, sanctification. It's all through the blood of Jesus, isn't it?
That's correct.
And when I think of good works, you know, we just don't know how to do that naturally.
Right. But
Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And it's like, oh, yeah, I can just rest in you, Lord, and, you know, whatever you got for me to do today, even if it's allowing someone else to do something for me. You know, we don't think of good works as someone laying in a nursing home needing someone to take care of them, or a daughter taking care of her mother who is helpless. But that person is teaching, you know, that's good work through the Holy Spirit that we, you know, that's a good work too.
Absolutely.
And it's, you know, it's beautiful to just realize. And it's scary to think, you know, we just don't know how to do that naturally until the Lord shows us, yeah, you're worn out. You can't take another step. Why don't you just rest in me and let me work through you? And it's all natural and it's all spontaneous love for others and, you know, just do what's at hand and be called where you're at.
Well, yeah. Summarized by, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to
the cross I cling.
Wonderful.
Yes. Isn't it beautiful?
It really is. And that's not even a Lutheran hymn.
It's all grace.
It's all grace.
Grace.
Yes.
And, you know, whatever good works, I'm not. It's all to His glory. It is His glory, you know.
Absolutely.
Anything we do is for His glory. And
well, thank you very much for calling.
God bless you.
You too. God bless. And anybody else can call. The numbers here are in St. Louis, 821-0850. Toll free anywhere in North America. And also St. Louis, if you want to call this, this is fine. 1-800-730-2727. Getting back to rightly dividing the word of truth, and my point is, it's a law gospel thing. Barnes says this, the idea seems to be that the minister of the gospel is to make a proper distribution of that word, adapting his instructions to the circumstances and wants of his hearers, and giving to each that which will be fitted to nourish the soul for heaven. That is a wonderful summary of when you give the law and when you give the gospel. Remember in Mark 10 to the rich man and in Luke 10 to the lawyer, both ask the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus never gives them the gospel. Just go through there. Because they don't think they're sinners in need of a Savior. So instead, all he does is give them the law. Because Jesus agrees with that verse, don't throw pearls to the swine, which I understand to mean don't give the gospel to those who aren't ready for it. That's why Jesus speaks in parables, so that the unbelieving Pharisees will not understand the gospel in such a way that they'll crucify him perhaps even earlier. Another very good summary of this is written by an individual named Clark. Therefore, by rightly dividing the word of truth, we are to understand continuing in the true doctrine, and teaching that to every person, and according to our Lord's simile, giving each his portion of meat in due season, milk to babies, strong meat to the full grown, comfort to the disconsolate, reproof to the irregular and careless, in a word, finding out the necessities of his hearers, and preaching so as to meet those necessities. There, again, it is a wonderful summary of what we mean by the distinctions between law and gospel. In other words, if I'm talking to someone who, well, they may not believe that they're such a big sinner, that they need God's grace, his salvation, I preach to them the law. On the other hand, if they're talking about that they're really afraid of God and they know that they've fallen short of his glory, they need to hear the gospel, which is the free gift of the forgiveness of sins. By the way, this week I'm going to be preaching a last sermon in Fairfield, Illinois. It's a church that, due to various circumstances, is closing down. A number of the members are no longer in the area. And it's going to be a last sermon there. The service is at 9:30, if you'd like to attend. And what we're going to be talking about is how that church throughout the ages has really divided the word properly in bringing many people to faith. And when that occurs, it means you're rightly dividing the word of truth. These are very faithful Christians there, and they're disappointed, of course, that they will be closing down the church, but finally there are so few members that it's not really necessary for it to continue. But these members are going to other churches, and there too we pray that the Word of God will be divided properly so that they come to a wonderful understanding of the message of Jesus Christ. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth. That's why in the Reformation, law and gospel become the two main teachings. So I hope this is helpful to the individual. The only way I can talk to these people who are falling away from the faith is to keep reminding them of the gospel, that there is only one gospel, and that's Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins. And this idea that there's another gospel for the Jews, Maybe an exercise you could have them do is write down, what do the Jews have to do in order to be saved? And they're going to find, if they're listening to Les Feldick or some of these other individuals, that that's really sad. See, dispensationalism has the understanding that at different times of the ages, God has different ways of saving people. Well, we don't agree with that at all. Abraham was saved the very same way I was saved. He believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. In fact, I often say, who were the first Lutherans? And my answer is Adam and Eve, because they believed the promise in Genesis 3:15. It was accounted to them as righteous, and we're going to see Adam and Eve in heaven. No doubt about it. So, if you want to call in, we got a few minutes left, 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Received another email, and I really was unaware of some of this, but the normal East German individual has no interest in religion. He's not asking spiritual questions. He is self-satisfied, and communism has replaced religion, and now they don't miss it. Now, here's what happened in East Germany. What happened was the propaganda of the government prepared people to religious indifference and abstinence from church life. Now, why I find this interesting, it's very similar to what's happening in the United States. What was new was that atheism was now anchored above the level of the individual. Not only individual people are unchurched, but most parts of public culture, the educational system, and the civil places are unchurched as well. And just listen to what's happening in the United States. Abortion is okay. Homosexuality is okay. Gay marriage is okay. Buying marijuana and getting high is okay. What happened? The communist leaders of East Germany attacked the church where it hurt most, in education and lifetime support. The government fought against religious education and youth work. It taught an atheistic worldview, posing as science in the schools. See, and we've got that with evolution. And substituted its own rites for such church rites as baptism, confirmation, and Christian burial. I think we're going to have to be talking more about this in the future. But as I indicated, Open Mic Friday means we go to our callers. And hello, Mike, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I just want to say, I disagree with you that Adam's in heaven, and the only way I know how to say this is that Adam can't be saved because he's never been lost, and that's why he's lost forever.
Mike, that made no sense. If he's lost forever and he's never been lost, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, it says that he wasn't in the transgression, you know, that, in other words, he wasn't fooled by Satan, according to Corinthians. He willfully sinned.
Yes, he was even dumber than Eve.
No,
he didn't have to be deceived. He just sinned. I mean, that's even a worse kind of motivation.
Well, yeah, I see. You don't see what I'm saying, but I mean, I think he's lost forever because he willfully sinned, you know?
Well, then why did God give him a promise in Genesis 3:15 that a Messiah was going to come?
Well, he was invited to repent, but it's impossible for a perfect man to repent because he didn't make it out of inherited imperfection like when we sinned. When he sinned, he understood the full consequence of what he was doing, and in his mind, he thought that it was the best thing for him to do. I mean, he wouldn't. In other words, if he could go back and undo what he did, he wouldn't do it. Is what I'm saying.
Is that true in your life also?
Well, no.
So you would not change it? Yeah, you would continue to sin if you could undo it?
Well, I mean, I made mistakes and realized.
No, Mike. Would you undo it?
If what?
If you had the chance.
Oh, sure.
Okay, then you're lost forever also. I'm sorry to hear about that. Okay. Yeah, you see, this is why you call. Because you need to get your reasoning and logic properly. Just because Adam sinned doesn't mean he's lost forever. Or I would be lost forever. Because like Mike, I too, boy, if I could change some of the things that happened in my life. I see a bunch of calls on here again, but you waited too long. Sorry. On Monday, we're going to have an interesting discussion on law and gospel. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.